now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit. Here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? Live from the Command Center located deep in the heart of Merced Church of Christ, this is Live from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West. I, your correspondent, offer up news and views you can use on Scripture and society. Yes, your host for this half-hour excursion into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez. Greetings. Welcome. Glad you tuned in. Well, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and it's a time when we give thanks. It's implied in the name, right? A time when we reflect, when we hopefully turn our attention to God and consider the manifold blessings which He has bestowed upon us. We offer up thanks to Him for the myriad of blessings which He bestows upon us. The large things, yes, and certainly, but the small things as well. The smallest blessings likewise need to be remembered, and we need to give thanks for those. Someone has said, when the deepest gratitude of your heart includes the smallest blessing received, you may be closest to the real secret of thanksgiving. And you know, there's a rich history. I'm not going to dive into it. Maybe someday I will, but there are a number of people writing about the origins, the lessons of Thanksgiving. You can find a couple of articles on the Christian Post if you are so interested. Usually it goes back to the Pilgrims, a group of Puritans who landed at Cape Cod in the fall of 1620. You know, they would have starved to death if it hadn't have been for the providences of God and also for a change in their thinking from a socialist type of society to a capitalistic society. That's interesting, but something for another time, I suppose, also. Of course, it's traced through Washington. He offered the Thanksgiving Day Proclamation back in 1789, when we were, as a country, to give thanks to the great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be. You can find that Thanksgiving Day proclamation online as well. You can trace the history through Abraham Lincoln, of course, and on through. We got a very rich history here that time simply does not permit me to indulge. And so that's, you know, I want in this episode to consider some of the things that I'm thankful for. And hopefully it spurs in your mind as you consider and as you reflect upon things. What are you thankful for? Well, here are a few of the things that I'm thankful for, and hopefully it primes the pump in your mind concerning what you should be thankful for as well. I'll start off by saying what I'm not thankful for. I'm not thankful that the culture, the society in which we live, is just seems to be rushing past Thanksgiving so that they can get to Christmas. Thanksgiving is reduced to a time where we see who can ingest the most calories and who can fall asleep the fastest on the sofa while watching football, so that we'll be well rested to arise at 3 o'clock in the morning to go down to stores that are open for Black Friday, where we can pay rock bottom discount prices, which are really an illusion. We can pay these rock bottom discount prices on stuff we do not need, and we just sort of rush past Thanksgiving. We don't give it its due attention. And again, it's in an attempt to get to Christmas. It seems as though the Christmas season is being pushed upon us earlier and earlier, even into the middle of November. There are stations which devote themselves entirely to playing Christmas music. I was out for a run just the other day, and one of the people in my neighborhood already had Christmas lights up. This is the middle of November. They already have their Christmas decorations up. Again, it just seems like we're pushing Christmas and Christmas further back, and it is overshadowing the Thanksgiving Day holiday, which is truly a, if there's any Christian holiday, I think Thanksgiving is probably closest to it. I know a lot of people high center on the birth of Jesus at Christmas, the death of Jesus at Easter, but Thanksgiving seems to be the appropriate attitude that we should have. And in fact, if you go back and reread George Washington's Thanksgiving Day Proclamation, he talks about how we should reflect upon our own individual transgressions as well as the sins that we have collectively as a nation and repent of those. So, at any rate, I suppose I'm ranting about the commercialization of Christmas. That really irks me. The commercialization of Christmas and how that is pushed further and further, earlier and earlier into the year. It infringes on Thanksgiving, robs it of its true significance and meaning, all for the purpose of exploiting people to give them the illusion that they're actually getting a good deal on something when in fact they're probably not. At any rate, what am I thankful for? Well, what is probably at the top of everyone's list, at least it should be, is God. We should be thankful for God. We wouldn't have our existence if it weren't for Christ, Jesus Christ. We should be thankful for Him. We should be thankful for the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. We should be thankful for the Bible, which communicates to us God's Word and His will for our lives. But I'm also thankful for my wife. We've been married now 7 years, and I am thankful for a spouse, a ministry partner who does her best to support me in the work that I am engaged in. It's not good for man to be alone, right? And so God made a suitable helper for Adam. Well, God has given me a suitable helper for my work and for my life, and I am better for it. I am thankful for the offspring that that relationship has produced. I'm thankful for my sons that God has given me. And it's kind of like Hannah and her situation. You read over in the book of 1 Samuel, she prays for a son, and God gives her a son, and she says, "For this son I have prayed." And back when I only had one, that was something that I could say, but now I have to tweak it a little bit to say, "For these sons I have prayed." I did. I asked God. It was my prayer that God would bless me with boys. And it was, you know, before Kim was even pregnant with our first son, I remember people would say, "Oh, that means you're going to get girls," you know. And I said, okay. And then God gave us a son. And I felt vindicated. And then God gave us another son. And I was vindicated all the more. And all of a sudden, people aren't saying, "Well, he's going to..." No, I was very specific. And I have very big plans for the kingdom. And I said, "God, I want boys so that I can raise them into men who would do great things for your kingdom." And I believe God heard and He answered that prayer, and He gave me sons. And for these sons I have prayed, and for these sons I am thankful. I'm thankful for my ministry. And I want to be clear that this isn't a job for me. You know, you can go down to McDonald's and you can get yourself a job. This is a ministry. This is, you know, jobs, they come and go, right? But ministry ministry is forever. It doesn't go away. And so I'm thankful for my preaching ministry. I'm thankful for my teaching ministry. I'm thankful that through my service in the kingdom, I'm able to touch lives and transform, or at least engage in the transformation that God is working in another person. I get to facilitate in that and facilitate people to a deeper level of faithfulness. I am thankful for my ministry that I get to work with young people. That's always reinvigorating. I'm looking to engage in that even more in the new year. I'm thankful for the ministry of mentoring people, discipleship. So I'm thankful for my ministry that I'm able to fulfill in the kingdom. And along those lines, I'm thankful for the church at large, universal, the saved body of Christ. But more specifically, I'm thankful for the church here on Yosemite Parkway, right here in Merced, California, which, by the way, sponsored this half hour for this program is Merced Church of Christ. Located at 2050 Yosemite Parkway, the Merced Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our mission is to seek out and find willing people to be obedient to Christ and to live according to His will. Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that's Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also meet for midweek Bible study every Wednesday, that's tonight, at 7 p.m. She's served by her preaching minister, yours truly, Nick Perez. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, making and maturing disciples. I'm thankful that I get to work with this church, this congregation of the Lord's church. This is a congregation which my family has grown to love, and this is a congregation which loves our family. And it has been a very good fit that we have come here and that we are able to engage in the work of ministry with our brothers and sisters, that we're able to reach out and engage the surrounding community with one another, and that we get to grow in Christ together. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful, again, for the church at large, the church universal. You know, it was just a couple of years ago that family, my wife and I, and our son, just our one son at the time, just a few years ago that we lived over 600 miles away from family. And we didn't get to make the trip that often. In fact, we tried to save as much time as possible so that we could make the trip for Christmas. So we didn't get to come home for Thanksgiving one year. We didn't get to be around our biological family. But again, I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful that we have a church family that acts as an extended family. And they opened their home and they shared their lives. And it was interesting because they weren't people our age, 20-somethings. They were actually quite older. They weren't grandparents, but they were certainly of that age. I don't know, 60s, 70s maybe. And they invited us over, and they shared their lives. They shared Thanksgiving dinner with us. Only in the church of Christ does that make sense. Does that relationship between 20-somethings and, you know, senior retirees, why would they have us into their home? Why would there even be a connection? Only in Christ does that relationship make sense. And so I'm thankful for the church and for what she means to my family and for what it means to be a part of that church. Not just to have the family of God that is able to surround us, but also to know that we have salvation in Christ Jesus. And so related to that, I'm thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful for the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, Romans 1 and verse 16. I'm thankful that the gospel was proclaimed to me, even at a young age, and that I was obedient, that God made an avenue by which we could be saved. I'm thankful for the message of Jesus, the saving message of Jesus, that he came from heaven to earth. He lived a perfect sinless life, a life you and I could not live, and died the death that we needed on the cross. He rose by the power of God on the third day, was seen by over 500 people at one time, and ascended back to the Father's right hand, where he ever lives to make intercession on our behalf. So that although the life that we now live in Christ, yes, we may stumble and we may fail, we may sin, but there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And we have the promise of the forgiveness of sin if we make it our aim and our goal to live according to the standard which God has given us. A sinless walk? No, we are not sinless, but we are learning to sin less, as one brother has said. And I'm thankful that when I share this message with other people, not dependent upon me. And it's not about Perez. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about him and his power. Not my power. It's not about how clever I can be in sharing the gospel. Not about how eloquent I am. Who made my mouth? Who made your mouth? I mean, wasn't that the question posed to Moses back in Exodus chapter 4? It's dependent upon God. Listen, if I'm the one holding the boat together, we're going down with the ship, okay? It can't be about me. It can't be about my strength. No, it's about God. And he's a faithful God. And he's a powerful God. And he's a mighty God. And so it's dependent upon him. And again, I'm grateful for that. Grateful that it's by his power in the inner man, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful that he shows up when I engage people in religious discourse. You should be thankful for that too. I'm thankful especially that salvation is not dependent upon me. My salvation is not dependent upon my performance. It can't be. My righteous deeds are nothing more than filthy rags. So says the prophet in Isaiah 64, about verse 6. Ezekiel is he's just as graphic. We've cleaned up the language in Isaiah 64 for the modern English reader, but Ezekiel uses a similar language. I believe it's in chapter 34, talking about how my righteous deeds are the like a cloth used by a menstruating woman. It's graphic, but that's... Salvation is not dependent upon my performance. It's dependent upon God and his power to save. Again, if it's dependent upon my performance, how is that different than what the Pharisees got busted for back in Jesus' day? No, we need a Savior. And Jesus comes and says, rely upon my performance. Rely upon my righteousness. Depend upon my track record. Because he's the only one who could truly live a perfect, sinless, holy life. I'm thankful that God allows us to be servants. He allows us to be earthen vessels, jars of clay, which can carry the precious message of the gospel grace to other people. 2 Corinthians 4, 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm thankful that through the gospel, we can live changed lives, different lives. I'm thankful for the transformative effect of the gospel and for the word of God. I'm thankful for the transformation that occurs through discipleship, through the renewing of our minds as we absorb the Word of God and allow it to permeate our life. Transformation takes place. And it's transformation which God works and which God affects in us. Now, it's a passive voice verb there in Romans 12 and verse 2. Be transformed, He does the transforming. We are merely willing vessels who cooperate with Him in the transformation process. I mentioned at the beginning, thank for the Holy Spirit. He really is the true sponsor of this program. He's the one who makes it happen. It's because of Him that we have the Word of God. We believe the Bible is inspired, not like Beethoven was inspired to write music or Shakespeare was inspired to write plays, but inspired, inspirare, from the Latin. God breathed in and actually breathed out His Word. It is God breathed. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, the Word of God is, all Scripture is breathed out by God. There it is. So God's Word, it was breathed out. And the Holy Spirit, He is the breath of God, the pneuma of God. And we are not deists when it comes to our pneumatology, brothers and sisters. We shouldn't be. Deists believe that God, in the beginning, wound up the clock, as it were, set it down and said, just keep ticking until you sort of wind down, and God has not been involved. Well, the deistic view of the Holy Spirit is He came down, dropped off these scriptures, the 66 books of the Bible, and said, see you later, and went back to heaven. And that's it. He's left it to us and our intelligence and our ability to decipher and work through this book on our own. And it's all dependent upon us to figure it out. Now we still need His help. And He's still active. He's still working. I don't believe it's miraculous like it was in the first century. I believe those things gave way to something more profound. It's still supernatural, don't get me wrong. It's got to be. If it's just the natural man, the flesh, then again, we're in trouble. But the Holy Spirit, He's taken up residence within every believer. He lives in us. He helps us. And I am persuaded he emboldens us so that we can engage in the work of ministry and engage our culture to impact it for Christ. James says the body without the Spirit is dead. James 2, verse 26. May I suggest to you that the body of Christ is dead without the Spirit of Christ living in her. So I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit who lives within every believer, who dwells among the church and leads us to deeper faithfulness. I'm thankful, you know, again, thankful for the smallest blessings. I'm thankful for my Logos Bible software program. They could be a sponsor this half-hour program, right? The software that they have produced, in my opinion, is the best on the planet. I would recommend it to you. They have a variety of packages, and they do come with a price tag, but they're worth every penny. And so I'm thankful for my Bible software, which enables me to wisely use my time and study, and allows me the ability to study in depth the Word of God. So there's a little promo there for you. Thankful for Logos Bible Software. We don't often talk about the smallest blessings, but every meal, every opportunity that you have to eat, that's something that we take for granted here in America, but it's something which the world over is a problem. And so I think we should be thankful. Yes, we will engage in eating a meal tomorrow. Some of us will show off our gluttony skills, and I'll just throw myself out. I'm just as guilty. But I would hope that we would be thankful for every morsel of food that we put into our body, that we give thanks for that, that we recognize that it's a holy thing. It's something that God has given us. This episode is prompted by a command in Scripture. Colossians 3 and verse 15, we are told to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. All be's in Scripture are imperatives. They're commands. May I just ask, why does Paul have to command these Christians in Colossae to be thankful? The implication is that they aren't thankful. They're a bunch of ungrateful Christians for what God has done. And they're not being as thankful as they ought for the privileges and the providences of God in their lives. And so he has to command them, be grateful. We're humans. And so often we forget that we're called also to be thankful even today. We're not as thankful as we should be. And again, I'm just as guilty as any other brother or sister. I'm not as thankful as I should be. And indeed, Thanksgiving is not isolated to one day a year. And I'm not a big fan of cliches. I'm not a big fan of bumper sticker theology. But we do need to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And we do need to cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving, a lifestyle of gratitude to God, where we enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we enter his courts with praise, not just once a year, and even not just once a week on Sunday, but every day. We are thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful tomorrow, yes, but be thankful today. Be thankful tomorrow. Be thankful the day after that. Be thankful every day of your life. Paul tells the Ephesians over in Ephesians 5 and verse 20 that we are give thanks always and for everything. God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, at all times and for all things, we of all people should be thankful. I've listed a number of things that I'm thankful for. It's just the tip of the iceberg of things that I could, if I'm to give thanks for everything God has given me. And you consider that he is the God of the universe, the sovereign cosmic ruler of everything, and the only reason I am existing, the only reason I am breathing and talking and communicating right now is because he sustains me on a moment-by-moment, second-by-second basis. Give thanks always and for everything. And so I'll say in conclusion that I'm thankful to you, O constant listeners. Every last one of you, thank you, because you're making this program happen. This show, by the way, which has a global influence, it reaches the world over. Thank you for listening. And I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Post some things you're thankful for. That'd be good. Search Facebook for the Life from the Pulpit Facebook page. Like that page. You get all the updates when I go live with a podcast, update the blog, or update the YouTube channel. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube Life from the Pulpit for the channel. Subscribe to it for the Question of the Day segments. Follow me on Twitter, at InPulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. All my commentary there on Luke, James, 1 John, 2 John, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, other resources to help you grow in your daily work. And as always, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.